At the UPS Store, we know this upcoming holiday is when things can get busy for small business owners. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with every small business need.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. The UPS Store locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours may vary. See center for details.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 16th day of February, Friday, 2024. And tonight, our producer and board op is none other than, hey, Johnny.
Hey, Pastor Ernie, how you doing? Hello, America.
There you go. Very good. And we have right here live in the studio with me, my What's Right, What's Left contributor, Matt Klein.
Good evening, Pastor.
And then way out yonder in Texas. And that's right. He is the founder, co-founder of Cops for Christ National and International, and an author and co-host with me. And kind of like a partner in crime, none other than Big John McTernan.
Hey, Batman and Robin.
That's right, Robin.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners.
Hey, we got a special guest tonight, a special guest. John, this fella has a lot in common with us. Guess what? He's been arrested and jailed for doing the Lord's work. Sound familiar? Okay. We have with us, they're from Canada, Pastor Arthur Paleski, the Patriot Pastor. Hey, Arthur.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We're going to do some scripture that I know is familiar to you fellas, and then we're going to let you tell us what's happening there in Canada. Both of us, we're facing the Antichrist system, world system now, but I think you have it a little worse than we do. Here in America, we're an armed camp. People don't trust the government as far as we can throw it, and it is so corrupt. But you fellows aren't so fortunate as we are here, are you?
Well, I would say we are in trouble globally. This is not just a regional attack like I am accustomed to when I was growing up. And you got to remember, I grew up behind the Iron Curtain under the...
I know you did, yep. So,
and that was a regional attack on our rights, liberties, and lives. Now, it's a global attack. So there is nowhere to hide. You must rise up, stand up, and push this great evil away or else.
That's right. In fact, I'm going to be preaching on the doctrine of the lesser magistrate then and now, you know, so to this Lord's willing this Sunday, because the Bible tells us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving our own self. And we are to run to this battle. And so let's start tonight in Acts chapter 5. We're going to start in the book of Acts chapter 5. And are you someplace where you have your Bible with the order?
Yeah, I can open it.
All right, very good. Acts chapter 5, and we start with verse 17. And so, I'll tell you what, John, let's just take it to Would you want to go ahead and read verses 1 through 28? And Arthur, would you close with verses 29 through 32? So go ahead. I'll tell you what, John, you read 1 through 24, and I'll read 25 through 28, okay? No, verse 17. You've read 17 through 24.
Pastor Ernie, I'm all confused.
Are you?
Slow down. We're in Acts chapter 5.
Right. You start with verse 17, and you read it. Let me just make it easy. I'm going to split this up three ways. You read 17 through 24.
Okay.
I'll read 25 through 28. And Arthur, you pick it up with verse 29 and read it through 32.
Okay.
Let's go for it. Go for it, John.
All right. Then the high priest rose, and they all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to all the people the words of this life." And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison, and returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all the safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened it, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow.
Then come one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, and for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us."
Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him."
All righty. So here, these were the Sadducees, and the Sadducees were indignant. They were pretty angry because they didn't believe in the doctrine of resurrection. And here, the apostles, guess what they were preaching? The resurrected Jesus. And so they decided that they were going to put an end to that. And so then came one saying to them, "Behold, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." So when Jesus said, "Go stand and speak in the temple," he meant boldly, right? Boldly proclaim the gospel, didn't he?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. How could they not?
Well, here now today, the captain and the officers have brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Today, I don't know, here in America, I guess out in our county right here, if they were to come for us pastors, there might be a lot of resistance. I don't know, but in a lot of places there would be no resistance. Mm-hmm. And places like the blue states and New York, San Francisco, or any of that, there would be no resistance at all from the people when they come to take the Christians. In fact, right now, even today, there in Nicaragua, you had 10 pastors were arrested. Pastor Britt Hancock and others in Nicaragua, they were arrested and they were charged with money laundering because they were taking up an offering. And, of course, we know Nicaragua has gone communist. And then verse 29, then Peter said, and the other apostles, and answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's the long and short of it, isn't it?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. We have to trust God and go forward without fear and trust that he will have our back, so to speak.
Well, I've gone to jail many a time for doing exactly that, for just preaching the gospel out there, and been in court a lot of times. But it's not quite as bad yet here, Arthur, where it's at, where you're at. You've been arrested for doing the very same thing there in Canada. And during this COVID thing, we had that in common. We made it very clear we were not going to close our doors. We made it very clear that God said not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. And we made it very clear we weren't going to be wearing masks, taking no poison poke, and all of this sheltering in place, that we were going to do what God's Word, the Bible, says. Arthur, you did that, and I did it, and I didn't go to jail, but you went to jail, didn't you?
Well, Canada has been implementing those anti-Christian laws, bylaws, municipal laws for decades. I was arrested in 2006 for the first time for just simply reading the Bible. In 2005, the Canadian government declared that giving free goods and services, which is feeding the poor, is now illegal. A distribution of printed material, Bibles, and gospel tracts, illegal. I mean, they have been working on this totalitarian regime or an attack on Christianity for quite a while. In 2005 to 2015, I have been arrested many times just for simply preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. But ultimately, I won in a court of appeal. And they left me be for a while, but then 2020 shows up, and believe it or not, I became the first Canadian to get the COVID ticket. They got me the ticket, they surrounded us, they assaulted one of our parishioners, threatened me with arrest and with a multi-million-dollar award of tickets, and that's how it went for 2020. During that time, we had the police officers, bylaw services, health inspectors, at our church services pretty much every single time. And the culmination, I would call it, happened during the Christmas. I don't know if you remember that, but the Canadian government shut down Christmas. They said they're canceling Christmas, and they told us that we're not allowed to not only congregate, we're not allowed to have Lord's Supper, we're not allowed to sing, we're not allowed to come and do anything. The chief of police sent the police officers and said, we're going to be monitoring your driveway. If there is extra car, we will break the door and arrest every one of you. So what I did, I mean, I'm a Polish immigrant, so I only know one way how to fight with the devil. I invited my family, my friends, and we did the biggest dinner I could, you know, in the house, and I took pictures and sent it to the devil. Come and get me. And then when Christmas came, I don't know if you remember, a few weeks before Christmas, there was a Halloween, and the politicians came on television and they said, and I'm talking about all levels of government, municipal, provincial, and federal, and they all said, kids, have a, you know, safe Halloween and have a great time. A few weeks later, the same politicians went on television and they said, we are canceling Christmas. No one is allowed to come. We caught, you know, your brother for coffee, you will be arrested. So I went on television too, and I invited people to the biggest Christmas celebration in the land. and thousands of people showed up. We had an amazing time. We had AAA steaks for the homeless, and that's what I do. I run two churches. One is called Three Church.ca. That's where we feed the homeless, and we preach the gospel. We worship on the streets three times a week. And I run another church in a building, just a regular building, where I teach theology and history three times a week as well. So when we put a Christmas celebration on, we had over 100 police officers showing up, 52 police cars, anti-terrorist, SWAT team, special unit with telescopic cameras. We had 20 cops on bicycles, and we had the chief of police. And I did something that, according to them, was unacceptable. During that time, Canadian government told us that we're not allowed to sing. I don't know if you remember that.
Singing, oh, yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, singing was prohibited by law. So what I did, I hired an entire choir. We were singing, you know, Christmas carols, and the chief of police was not happy. And it was Christmas after all, so they came bearing gifts. I ended up with 15 COVID tickets for that day alone. It took me 2 years to fight those tickets. I ultimately won, but it was a crazy fight. So that was 2020. Then 2021 shows up, and those people started to come to our church building. At first, they blocked our driveway, preventing people from coming in. Then they brought telescopic cameras, taking pictures of our women and children. And then April of 2021 showed up. That was our holiest time of the year. It was Passover. It was Easter. And Saturday morning, I looked to my left, and here those people were standing muzzled up in black. And I don't even know what they really wanted. I think they wanted to come and interrupt or shut down our church service. But I just went to the pulpit, took my cell phone, and I started to record them and, you know, kick them out. I told them to get out. They wanted to have a conversation with me. I just would not have any of it. I told them to get out. Nazis are not welcome here. And it took me over 30 times to tell them get out. And finally, they leave. But as you remember, they came back with a vengeance. 3 weeks later, you know, and I didn't know that this short few minutes video of me just kicking those people out, being a shepherd that was fending off the hyenas, the wolves, I posted the video on my social networks and went back to the pulpit, preached, finished the service, opened my phone again, and I was absolutely shocked. That little video was the number one played video on Earth during the Easter weekend. Over a billion views. I just got hammered by international news outlets, interviews. It was unbelievable. I did 10 to 15 interviews a day. It was a gong show. And telling you the truth, I did not really understand why. I remember I asked my friend, he was a member of parliament all his life, and I said, listen, Rob, I don't get it. What is so appealing to the people, what I said? And he said, you know what? They have been subjected to this tyranny for a year. And you with your Polish accent, and those few words get out, you articulated what all of those people had on their hearts, and went viral. It went like a wildfire, and people started to use the same tactics, just telling the Nazis, the modern-day communists, get out of my church, get out of my restaurant, get out of my house. And the Canadian government was not happy, so what they did, they went and they found few crooked judges. And the first one was David Gates. David Gates of Alberta, and I don't know if he is related to your devil, Bill Gates, but David Gates of Alberta gave them the power, that crooked judge gave them the power to, you know, attack our church, enter our church with whomever they want, anytime they want, which is, of course, a breach of our Criminal Code of Canada, particularly Section 176, 1, 2, and 3, and, of course, the Constitution, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which, by the way, it starts with a preamble that says, whereas Canada acknowledges the supremacy of God and the rule of law. I know it's quite ironic right now when you think about that. Our national anthem, it says, God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. I mean, it sounds right now like some kind of a sick joke. But anyway, the SWAT team showed up. Those people, believe it or not, decided to bring anti-terrorists. So they showed up at our church. I kicked them again. They showed up again. I blocked the doors, kicked them again. So they went to the chief justice, the boss of judges in the province of Alberta, the associate chief justice, John Rook. John Rook the crook, I call him. John Rook the crook, he gave them the power to arrest any person within the province of Alberta. So he enslaved almost 5 million people within our province. And he said in his document, which, by the way, all those documents were done ex parte, without our presence, without our knowledge, without our lawyers' presence, off record, off camera, top secret meeting. So this crooked judge, John Rook, gave them the power to arrest them. So again, anti-terrorists showed up with that crooked judge's document. They opened the door, and here is the thing. The church was packed, standing room only, and I was already preaching at the pulpit. So what they did, they realized that this is going to turn ugly, that if they will try to arrest the preacher in the middle of the sermon, it can turn bloody. So they withdraw themselves, and they waited for the people to go home. That's how sneaky those Nazis are. And they waited for us to enter into a car and start driving. In the middle of the highway, in a busy street, in the rain, we got stopped by anti-terrorists. And we were told that we are under arrest. We had to step outside of the car. Me and my brother David, we were charged with, and you will get a kick out of this, because when I started to call them Nazis, Gestapo, and communists, people were having a huge problem with my use of language. But that's exactly what I observed growing up. And, of course, I'm the communist, but that's what I saw. Heard from the older generation, my grandparents, my grandma was in Auschwitz-Birkenau. I heard the same tactics were used during the Nazi era and during the communism era as well. When we were growing up behind the Iron Curtain, those types of things were normal. Police officers, they had this famous say, give us a man and we will find something on that man.
Absolutely. Hold on right there, Arthur. We're up against a heartbreak. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
Big John, Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion. He knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John,
Big John, Big Baptist John. In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John,
Big Baptist John,
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
We're back, and that was Big Baptist John. Written and sung by none other than yours truly, right here. That's right. Got to do this very quickly. We have some prayer requests. We have a number of folks that have come down with some kind of a virus. And that's Laura, Chuck, Claudia, and Coach. And they all could use a prayer for some healing. So, Big John, could you just say just a short prayer for these folks right now?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. Father, we bring before you everyone here that was mentioned with some sort of sickness. And, Lord, we're asking that at the root of it, Lord, would be touched and healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't linger. It wouldn't become severe. It would be reversed. The health would come back speedily. And they give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. And Archer, Pastor Pulaski, you're going to be here in Cleveland on March 8th and 9th, and you will be speaking right at the Bringing America Back to Life conference at Embassy Suites right there, right down the street from the radio station, Independence, Ohio. That's coming this March 8th and 9th. So, folks, come on out, and I will be there meeting and greeting people, too. So come on out and say hi and meet us, and hear Pastor Pulaski as he speaks to a pretty large crowd of people going to be. And so with that, Arthur, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but pick it up where you left off.
Yeah, so after that Get Out video and then them finding crooked judges, we get arrested and charged with unbelievable, ridiculous charges, inciting people to come to church, officiating an illegal gathering, participating in illegal gathering. We got handcuffed in the middle of the highway on our knees, taken to the police. They actually placed me in a paddy wagon upside down, so I was taken to the police with my head on the ground and my feet sticking out into the roof. It was crazy. I had bruises for weeks after that. We spent 3 days and two nights on concrete. Of course, everything they were doing to us was illegal. And with the charges, I remember at that time I decided to come to the United States and do a tour to warn Americans about what is happening. Because sometimes Americans are thinking that your biggest threat is the southern border. And it is a big threat, of course, with all the illegal immigrants invading your country. But here on the Canadian soil, they are training Chinese soldiers. Right now, as we speak, Canada is gone. We're living in China, truly behind the Iron Curtain. They are getting ready to attack, I believe, America sooner or later. So it's a huge threat. So I started to travel around, and I thought I'm going to spend a couple weeks in America. It turned out I spent 4 months. And when it was time to go back, I remember calling my lawyers and saying, okay, should I be worried? Is there anything brewing over there? And she said, no warrant for your arrest, nothing. I boarded the plane. I arrived in Calgary, Alberta, stepped out of the plane, and they were already waiting for me. I was arrested on the tarmac. I have never seen in my entire life, and I traveled around the world, I have never seen anyone being arrested either in the plane or on the tarmac. I mean, this is crazy stuff. I was charged this time criminally with the same offenses, including not wearing a muzzle and baptizing my daughter. She turned 13 at the time. I baptized her in a park, in a river, outdoor. And I was charged criminally for that as well, officiating an illegal gathering. So when we got back, when I was in the States, I was found guilty on all the charges, convicted by another crooked judge. His name is Adam Germain. Adam Germain found us guilty on everything. And on top of that, he gave us a compelled speech order, just like the Russians are doing, just like the North Korea and China is doing. In other words, the judge ordered us to parrot government narration if it comes to this big fat lie, as I call it. And I'll never forget that day, because I grabbed the microphone and I said, Judge, I hope you're listening. I'll never, ever obey your order. I'm a pastor. I will not lie to the people. This is a scam. This is a lie. And I will not repeat your lies. So if you want to come and send me, you know, send us your sheriffs to arrest us, so be it. We are ready. And they did not arrest us that day. They arrested us later on. When I was coming back with my wife in the middle of night on highway, I was arrested by RCMP. RCMP is like your FBI. I got arrested, charged, and released. I attended another rally, arrested, and charged, and released. And then I got arrested with my brother David, again, in the middle of the highway, in the middle of the snow, bogus made-up charges, thrown in prison again. And so the charges were piling up. During this time, I was charged over 340 times, 120 court cases, and 16 arrests. And many times we were detained. My brother David was arrested 11 times, and my son Nathaniel 4 times. And so that was the craziness that was going on. When the track convoy, I don't know if you remember that, track convoy, the guys called me. At that time, I was very well known. They called me Canada's pastor, freedom pastor. I was leading 20,000 people every week on the streets of Calgary, doing rallies, protests all over this country, flying in and out from different places and teaching, educating, warning, doing everything we could to awaken the masses. Because we got to remember, there is more of us than of them. The tyrants, 50,000 communists were ruling over 36 million Polish people during that time when I was growing up, until the 36 million finally said enough is enough, and they took it to the streets under the Solidarity Movement, which I saw growing up with my own eyes.
I remember it very well. Yeah, I remember the Solidarity Movement very, very well. Lech Walesa, I believe it was Lech Walesa. Pardon?
Lech Walesa.
Yeah, Lubanska, yeah. And
So the point is this. When the people finally have enough, if they want freedom, the only thing they need to do is bring God back into the situation, and that's what the Polish people did. Under Solidarity Movement, God was there. He was invited. They marched with crosses. They preached. They did masses. And solidarity with each other, solidarity with pain. We are all in this together. And when the Polish people took it to the streets, they paralyzed the entire system, and it was over. So the trackers called me, and they said, Pastor, would you be willing to conduct series of church services for us? and we are going to come to Calgary, and they wanted me to go to Ottawa. Ottawa is the capital of Canada. And so what we did, we fed them. We had truckloads of food. Our church cooked meal for them, and I delivered a church service in the evening, another church service in the morning, and off they went to Ottawa. I was supposed to go with them to the capital. However, you know, thank God for wise women. My wife came to me and said, okay, if all the men are going to go to the capital, who's going to stay here? Who's going to fight here? Who's going to organize things here if you're all going to go there? And I kind of looked at this, at her point, and I said, she's right. We are needed here as well. The whole country needs to rise up. And what we did, we organized another convoy, and we did rallies all over the place, and I was asked to go to Milk River and Coots. Coots is a point of entry between Montana and Alberta. I don't know if you remember that. That was all over the news. It was an incredible... farmers and truckers came together against the jobs, mandatory jobs, which are murdering people right now, left and right.
Oh, I remember that very well. They didn't treat the truckers very well, did they?
No, and we have globally right now over 200 million people that are either injured or dead because of this mandatory, experimental thing that the government were forcing people to inject.
The kill shot. It's called the kill shot, yeah. It's a bioweapon.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just the beginning. I remember when I was in the States, I traveled with some of the most brilliant doctors, scientists, biologists in the world. And I remember asking them, if a doctor, tell me, what is going to happen when a human body will take that job? And every single one of them would explain it to me a little bit differently, but all of them said the same thing, millions. And they would look into my eyes, and every single one of them said, millions of people are going to die. Millions. Millions upon millions of people. So I shared that with everyone, of course, and when the truckers decided to make their stand, they called me and they said, Pastor, would you come to Milk River and Coots and do church services for us? Because there are police officers dressed in black with machine guns pointing guns at our children playing street hockey. I mean, this is a crazy time. So I went over there. I took my son Nathaniel. I took our worship leader. We loaded the truck, the car with food and speakers and Lord's Supper, and we went to Milk River. We did a church service there. RCMP was there. Again, RCMP is like your FBI. They blocked the streets. They did the barricade. They came and filmed me, took pictures. And here's what I saw during the truck convoy. I saw people coming from all over the world together in solidarity. Every color, every religion, atheist, loving each other, hugging each other, feeding each other. It was minus 35. They brought wood. There was fire pit. It was incredible. It was absolutely beautiful. I've never seen something more beautiful on the Canadian soil than that convoy. So I did the church service. We had Lord's Supper. We were singing hymns, national anthem. On the way to Milk River, by the way, I was on over 50 radio stations, American radio stations, telling people what's going on all over the United States of America. And then RCMP filmed me, took pictures, and I went to them and I said, hey, I would like to go to Coots to do the same thing over there. And believe it or not, they opened the barricade for me, and we went to Coots. Coots is about 14 kilometers from Milk River. We were taken, the people were already waiting for me. We were taken to a private property, a restaurant called Smuggler's Inn, and I did another church service there. We were singing national anthem, we were singing hymns, we had a supper, Lord's Supper. I prayed for the people, and I delivered 19-minute sermon. Here is what I said to the people. I told them to stand for God and state-given rights. I told them to do it peacefully, no guns, no swords. I reminded them about solidarity movement with Lech Wałęsa in Gdańsk. I told them I saw this with my own eyes, the power of the people when they came in solidarity with each other. I said, if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for the children. This is truly our Alamo. If we will not stand up now, they're going to finish us off and our children are going to be enslaved. 19 minutes. I did not know that those 19 minutes are going to change my life. RCMP, police, undercover were there. Not a biggie. They were following me for years by now. My telephone is stopped since, I think, 2007 or 8. Not a big deal. I have nothing to hide. All my sermons are online, and you can come and hear. I'll tell you what is in my heart. I'm not hiding anything. And they let us go. We went back to Calgary. And attended another big rally, huge rally, 20,000 people, another one, thousands of people in different city. And I remember my last rally that I did. I've told the people, which I think triggered a fear in the hearts of the, you know, villains. I told the crowds, write down the name. Write down the names of the villains. One day when God gives us power, we're going to go back. And we will revisit this time. I will charge them with crimes against humanity. Remember the doctors. Remember the teachers. Remember the politicians. Remember the police officers. They will pay for what they are doing. And went home. Tuesday morning, I had a meeting with some friendly politicians. And we were ready to go back to Kutz to negotiate with the provincial government here, the Kenny's regime. And I stepped out of my house and I'm telling you, this is a Hollywood production. They blocked the street. I didn't know at that time that I was being observed by the police, undercover vans for over a week now. I stepped out of my house, they blocked the street, and that was everyone there. I mean, RCMP officers, detectives, undercover police, anti-terrorists, special SWAT team with cameras, a uniformed Calgary police, the whole nine yards. I was arrested and interrogated for a whole day, taken to prison, stripped naked, and solitary confinement. I was charged with absolutely ridiculous charges. I was charged with terrorism. I was charged with inciting mischief, over 5,000. The Crown Prosecutor, that pathological liar, Stephen Johnston, from a special Crown Prosecutor's unit that has been formed to hand down, literally hand down freedom people, he accused me of causing Canadian economy over $400 million worth of damages. Can you imagine? When my son learned that, he looked at me and said, well, why? I didn't know your speech was so powerful. $400 million for 90 minutes? Absolutely crazy. I was also charged with terrorism and put in solitary confinement. I received a letter that I was considered the most dangerous inmate in the country, and I was to be in isolation. I spent 46 days in isolation and metal cages. So the shocker was the next day when I was taken from my solitary cell to a metal cages. I don't know if you can visualize an adult sitting man in a metal cage. You can't move, you can't stand, you can only sit, and you're suffocating. You're sweating, it's hot, you can't breathe. And they kept me in those metal cages multiple times. I spent many, many days on concrete cells, no water, no washroom, and they denied my access to lawyers for 3 weeks. They confiscated my Bibles. They would not give me my reading glasses. Even the letters that I was writing to the lawyers were confiscated and read. The first time I had a meeting with my lawyer was 3 weeks later, and it was monitored by the guards and recorded, which is completely illegal. Everything they did was illegal. 45 days, I was literally kidnapped by the sheriffs, shackled, legs the whole nine yards, penguin march, and taken to Magspot. Magspot is a prison for the most dangerous offenders in the country. I was told that I'm so dangerous that I am not allowed to even have a pen. I was housed alone in the entire unit that is for hundreds of inmates. I was there by myself in a small little cage, freezing conditions, shivering, guarded by three guards that could not talk to me, only through intercom because I was too dangerous. I was let out of my cell. Sometimes they would keep me 25, 26 hours straight in a cage, and then I was let out for half an hour. So take a shower and make a phone call. So I called my wife, and I said my goodbye. I was freezing. I was shivering. When I complained to the guards, they laughed in my face, and they said, at least you have fresh air. I told my wife, I don't think I'm coming home. I think they intend to murder me here. Why I said that? Because at this moment, already five different inmates from Calgary's prison testified to my lawyers that the guards were giving them incentives to murder me in prison. They put my house on fire in the middle of the night. If it was not for my neighbor, we would burn alive. They unscrewed tires in my pickup truck. And literally during the drive, the tire took off. I was physically attacked. My church, they tried to burn it down. They burned our children's bus. They vandalized our church for 3 months. We were physically attacked multiple times. And then, of course, the police, the politicians vilified us on television. The mainstream media did a big hit pieces every single day. They were writing hit pieces, trying to stir the people, that the people would come and hurt us. We were called grandma's killers, you know, murderers, you name it. So I knew that those people wished me harm. And I said to my wife, call our lawyers and tell her what's going on because I don't think I'm coming out. And the lawyer did a brilliant thing. She sent a letter to the judge telling the judge what's happening. And that scared them. That scared them because now the judge knew what was going on. And believe it or not, from the Magspot, I was escorted out to a psych ward. I find this quite funny now, but it was not very funny at that moment because when I was escorted out to a new unit, I saw people jumping up and down and walking in the circles. And I just did not know what's going on. So I asked the guards, where am I? What is happening? And they laughed at me and they said, you're in the wild, wild west. And I said, what does that even mean? Well, you're in a psych ward. 2 days or 3 days later, I had a visitation. Oh, by the way, they put me in a cell with a schizophrenic young fella that chopped his brother with a machete. So I think what they wanted to achieve, they wanted this young man to kill me and then say, oh, oops, we know we just did not came in time, and it was on him. I remember when I walked into the cell, I remember I was considered the most dangerous inmate, and I was not allowed to have a pen. But this schizophrenic guy that murdered his brother, chopped him to pieces, he had about 15 pens and pencils. And so I talked to him, and I said, listen, I am considered so dangerous, I'm not allowed to have a pen. And he looked at me, smiled, and said, well, you can have mine. So I took the pen and I started to write. I wrote a book from jail. The book is going to come within a couple months about every day, what happened, what led to my arrest, the treatment, the whole nine yards. I'm telling my whole story, the background story as well, my trip to U.S. and all the arrests on tarmac and threats by the police and torture and all those different other things. So look forward to that. It's truly a Hollywood production because of those villains, what they tried to do. During that time, twice that liar, Crown Prosecutor, was coming to me with offers. If you sign this paper, you can go home. If you plead guilty to just one little charge, you can go home. What they tried to achieve, I have become at that time a symbol of resistance, a symbol of fighting against tyranny. They called me the Canada's pastor, and I think that what they wanted the front page. Pastor Pawlowski pleads guilty. I think that's the whole, that's why they were doing those crazy things to me to achieve that. But God prepared me. I knew I'm going to be arrested. I actually had a dream, and I knew I'm going to be arrested. He showed me how it's going to be done. So God prepared me and my family for this time. My son, my wife, and my brother David, they staged protests every single day when I was in prison. They had church services outside of prison, singing. My wife would rent huge speakers. There was worship. They were preaching. And every time I was sharing with them what's happening to me, they were blasting through the speakers and to the independent media, American news networks, and other places. So that's how we fought. Every time we were told keep our mouth shut, we were broadcasting this whole thing even louder. And eventually, the judge intervened, and I was released on bail, placed on house arrest. I spent a year and a half on house arrest with being charged with terrorism. In February, I was found guilty on all of the charges. I was found guilty on terrorism. I was found guilty on inciting mischief. I have become the first Canadian ever to be charged with this nonsense and found guilty. And I became the first Canadian ever to be found guilty of inciting for my 90-minute sermon. The Crown Prosecutor, Stephen Johnston, compared my sermon to a Rwanda genocide. He compared my sermon to someone that wants to murder people. It was a gong show. It was a show trial. The judge, the crooked judge, Gordon Krinke, he was not the judge from that city. He was appointed by the government to oversee this show of a trial, and he found me guilty on everything. I faced 12 years of imprisonment, and I started to fight for my very life. My wife and my son traveled all over, shared the story, and we got invited to European Parliament to testify. And I couldn't go because I was on a house arrest. So my wife and my son testified. And that went viral. Millions of people watched that. And my son, upon arrival to Canada, was arrested for that speech as well and faced some bogus, crazy charges. And I had to hire another set of lawyers, which we still have to this day. The pressure was so big.
Arthur, we're up against a hard break. Hang it right there because we're coming up to a hard break, but we'll be back right after this. It's a short break with a whole lot more. Don't go away. Be right back.
Lots of channels. Nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.